What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Most of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, simply the best podcast out there. Let's kick this thing off.
Narek Gevorgyan is the founder of CoinStats, a cryptocurrency research and portfolio management app available for iOS, Android, and desktop with over 500,000 active portfolios tracked worldwide. In this conversation, we discuss crypto portfolios, the importance of user experience, decentralized finance, CoinStats growth, and where Narek sees the market going in the next few years. I really enjoyed this conversation, and I hope you do as well. Before we get into this episode, though, I want to quickly talk about our sponsors. First up is Exodus. If you don't know about Exodus, you do now, so pay attention. Exodus is one of those companies that is leading the world out of the traditional financial system by building beautiful and user-friendly blockchain products. They've got a focus on design and user experience and has become one of the most popular and loved cryptocurrency apps. It's supported across all devices, and it allows you to sync your wallet across multiple devices where you can exchange around 100 different cryptocurrencies straight from your wallet. Interactive charts let you view asset price histories, and maybe the best part is they are integrated with Treasure Hardware Wallet, making advanced security easy for everyone. Visit Exodus.com for your free download or search Exodus on the App Store or the Play Store. Again, Exodus.com for your free download or search Exodus on the App Store or the Play Store. Next up is Remote. In 2021, every business is a global business, but how do you pay your global team and comply with international labor law? Remote handles payroll, benefits, taxes, and compliance to help companies of all sizes pay and manage full-time and contract workers all over the world. No matter where your team lives and works, Remote's global employment solutions keep your team, your finances, and your intellectual property secure. Remote never charges percentages or fees, just best-in-class global employment solutions for a low flat rate. The world's top global companies love Remote. GitLab, the world's largest all-remote organization, trusts Remote to manage their global team, and so should you. Remote is funded by Index Ventures, Sequoia Capital, and a host of other top-tier investors. Learn more about Remote and their new Remote for Startups program at remote.com. Again, remote.com. Lastly, don't forget that I write a daily letter to over 140,000 investors about business, technology, and finance. I break down complex topics into easy-to-understand language while sharing my personal opinion on various aspects of each industry. You can subscribe at pompletter.com. Again, pompletter.com. All right, let's get into this episode with Narek. I hope you enjoy this one.
Anthony Pompliano is a partner at Morgan Creek Digital. All opinions expressed by Pomp or his guests on this podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Morgan Creek Digital or Morgan Creek Capital Management. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
All right, guys. Bang, bang. I've got Narek here. Thank you so much for doing this, sir.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Let's just jump right into your background. Where did you grow up? What did you do before you got into Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, I was born in Yerevan, Armenia. I studied for engineering, started my career as an engineer, never ended up being a good engineer. I quit my work after 2 years, started an agency, and then grown that agency to provide engineering services to startups from US mainly, etc. And yeah, obviously, like anyone, we were trying our own ideas, products, etc. Then 2017 came in. It was January. It was, I think, June. Then I started investing into cryptocurrencies and caught myself manually calculating 10 times a day how much I own. I figured there needs to be an app, basically, to show how much you own. And we quickly coded the app because we already had a team, etc. Put it on App Store, and it appeared that thousands of other people needed that kind of an app too. And then the bull market happened; it grew. And then we figured out we need to sync automatically with exchanges because it's not really handy to manually enter your transactions. Then we figured out you need to sync wallets. Then we figured out you need to sync other platforms. Then DeFi came in. You basically sync those smart contracts to show your liquidity on Uniswap or things like lending on your Aave and all other kind of DeFi tracking and management stuff.
Absolutely. And so when you think about CoinStats today, maybe let's just walk through kind of what the actual product does. So most users, they have cryptocurrency assets all over the place. They've got, you know, different exchanges for different reasons. They may have something in a wallet, hardware, software, whatever. Walk through kind of just like what you guys have built and how it actually works.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's even recommended to do so, to distribute your holdings into multiple places. They do that for security reasons, also for accessing the certain opportunities quickly. You should keep some of your funds on exchange, so when the prices move, you have a quick action to basically sell it or buy more, etc. So that leads to a problem. You get lost on what you own, where you own, how much you have made, how much you have lost. And also it creates a problem. You should log into each platform to see your holdings, to trade. You need 10 different apps on your phone, on 10 different bookmarks, website on your computer. So what CoinStats does is consolidate all of your holdings into one place. And it's being done automatically with 5 to 10 minutes setup. And you have everything in one place. And as soon as our customers do it, they completely fell in love with it. They feel the magic, and they can't stop CoinStats because, I mean, obviously the entering your trades transactions into some spreadsheet or some apps is like past age. No one should do that. You should better automatically sync and down. You have all your data in one place, and you can not only track your data, but also trade from CoinStats. In fact, we are going to expand our trading ability and financial management ability, not only trade in the future, but also access, lend money from smart contract, Aave, or Compound, or anything else. So the end goal is really to become an interface to crypto. That's how we call ourselves, meaning an easy to use front end or interface to all kind of different crypto products and smart contracts or exchanges, wallet, anything it can be. We are even comparing ourselves to the browsers in early 90s or 95, 96. But browser is just an interface to internet, right? So.
Absolutely. And so when you think through this, you have a consumer-facing technology. Obviously, you have grown really, really fast over the last couple of months. Talk a little bit about what you're seeing in the trends of the growth, right? So where are people coming from? What are they doing on the platform? And kind of from an aggregate growth standpoint, how quickly is everything growing?
Yeah, sounds good. We have grown to over 800,000 monthly active unique users over the last 3 months. Mainly, we acquire users through word of mouth. So our main acquisition channel is people searching CoinStats on all kinds of search networks, be that Google search or App Store, etc. That's the main channel because people are using us, people recommend to their friends, and they start searching CoinStats on App Stores, etc. And obviously, we have seen huge growth recently because of market hype, because of a lot of people started investing into cryptocurrencies. And market trends nowadays even make you use so many different products, wallets, and exchanges, all kind of stuff. Because, I mean, you need to buy this coin, it's on Uniswap. You should use MetaMask. Then Binance Smart Chain comes in, you should use Binance Smart Chain to use this to invest on this coin. And there are so many products like CeFi products like Celsius, Nexo. We sync all of them, BlockFi. And basically, I think one of the main reasons people use us and we have seen huge growth is us being on top of the market and integrating the platforms people are using. Like Binance Smart Chain grown recently really fast. It took us a week to implement Binance Smart Chain. I don't know, BlockFi gets a lot of users. We integrate BlockFi because our customers need that. All of our competitors are very, very slow on that thing, integrations with new platforms, etc. DeFi is big. We have a lot of features around DeFi. You can track your liquidity on Uniswap as soon as you connect your Ethereum wallet. And that also leads to one of the most exciting things we are working on right now is allowing trading on DeFi in the next couple of months.
Absolutely. And so when you think through the decentralized finance, how does that change when you onboard decentralized finance versus, let's say, a centralized service like a BlockFi, right? Like what are the technical complexities or is it actually less friction to interface with DeFi applications versus centralized applications?
That's a great question. I think the centralized DeFi, centralized financial platforms like BlockFi have one big advantage. Their teams are consumer focused. They can do great UIs, great user experience. They can do great marketing advertisement and onboard those customers with easy to use interface, etc. The teams who are very talented on a part of blockchain, finance, economy, who are creating those really tough to create smart contracts or don't have good experience or don't focus on user experience. Like try to put any of your friend out of crypto to use Aave, he'll get lost. I mean, even if he spends 8 hours on that, that's really hard to use. That's not bad. That's just because Aave team is talented on smart contracts rather than user interface. That's exactly what we want to solve. We want to take the smart contract they created and offer that solution with the same easiness of use as BlockFi or any other centralized financial service provider company and advertise it the same way as BlockFi advertises. So, and obviously, we think that DeFi has much more advantage over CeFi. And talking about the differences, I have an opinion that CeFi won't make sense at all. That won't work out if DeFi doesn't work out. Because if DeFi doesn't work out, nobody would want to invest into Ethereum or those coins. If nobody buys Ethereum, nobody would use CeFi.
Absolutely. And so when you think through this, are people using the product because they want to trade? They want to just be informed about what their portfolio and other assets are doing? Like, what do you find is the hook or the thing that's really driving a lot of the activity? Because 800,000 monthly active users is a really big number. What's driving those people?
Again, I think it's driving the ability to see how much they own. I mean, that's the main pain point. How much I own now? I mean, the market is up 20% a day, down 20% tomorrow, right? How much I own? What's my net worth? And the second value we give is your profit loss, how much you have made on your last trade. We have four profit loss options, like last trade, current holdings, all time on each of the coin you invested in. And we get all your transactions from those exchanges automatically. Even if you are using Binance has no UI for easily checking the price you bought your Bitcoin for. They show just tables, etc. You can basically export to spreadsheet, manually check it out. I think the number of connections we have with the ability to sync to and ability to see how much you own. And I think we have grown mostly because the market has grown to state when the product market fit of our product have became even stronger because people are using so many different platforms. Back in 2018, it was only a couple of exchanges, like people were buying on Coinbase, etc. Right now, people don't stop buying Bitcoin on Coinbase. They want those DeFi coins because those DeFi coins are the ones who do 10x or 20x. And those DeFi coins are not accessible to a lot of people because it's hard to buy them. It's hard to use Uniswap. You need to understand MetaMask. You need to install, connect transaction, approve it, then the swap, evade. You don't understand if it worked out or not. That's why we want to just make it easier. And we want the same buy Bitcoin experience as you see on Coinbase or any other similar product. But you can buy any coin which is trading on DeFi. And again, obviously, 90% of those DeFi coins won't do good on a long term because those are startups, they will fail. But those are the investment opportunities which can potentially do 1,000 X's. because you can potentially invest on next Facebook, next Apple, next Tesla, because they're there. No consumer in the history of human had an opportunity to invest like in Facebook when it was 10 million valuation. Like no one had the opportunity, right? Even if they wanted, they couldn't. Right now we are living in a world when almost everyone can invest on next Facebook, because I'm almost sure the next Facebook, some decentralized social network idea, is trading somewhere on Uniswap along those 10,000 other coins trading on Uniswap. I mean, it's a lot of work to research, to find, figure out who is going to be next Facebook, but it's there. Or the next Netflix decentralized streaming platform, or the next, I don't know, Amazon decentralized shopping platform, et cetera.
Yeah, so you basically have sit in a very interesting spot, right? One is obviously CoinStats and the product you guys have built and the large user base you have, but also you grew up outside the United States, right? You were born in Armenia, and maybe talk a little bit about like what is going on in that country specifically, and then what you see from the international user base versus anyone in the United States.
That's a great question. In Armenia and all of the similar countries, central banks are really afraid of Bitcoin because they are lazy to try out new stuff. They don't want changes because they work for government, for central bank. They hate changes. It's stable, it works, why we need Bitcoin, etc. And but if they worked hard, researched hard, and he gave the opportunity to people invest in Bitcoin or access those investment opportunities, and obviously by training them, teaching them that there is a risk involved, invest money you can afford to use, etc., that would have been great. But unfortunately, Armenian government, central banks, and any other central bank in developing countries doesn't do that for their people. And what I like about blockchain, decentralized sphere, decentralization, and these fair exchanges, trading, etc., the startups, the companies are decentralized in the world too. Like in other spheres, most of the startups are Silicon Valley. In crypto, it's all over the world. I mean, Europe, Asia, US, etc., and startups from Asia market for US, companies from US market for consumers from Asia, etc. It's so decentralized that also creates new opportunities for entrepreneurs from other countries, in developing countries who are not in Silicon Valley, don't have funds, accessible funds, easy to access investments and networks, to create their own startups, which can become big in next years. So that's what I really like about this crypto space, because it creates also so many new opportunities. In any case, it creates so many new opportunities because it's revolution again. I mean, it's going to be big. And if I recommend every engineer out there to start learning Solidity and smart contracts, etc., because they're going to be the ones who get paid the most in next 2 years or 3 years or 10 years.
Yeah. And it feels also like there's this huge advantage that you have in terms of anyone in the world now who takes on and learns computer science skills and can code, can use an internet connection. They can create any product in the software realm, and then they can release it to the world and they can put it on a global stage almost immediately. And so those software developers also need to build teams. And so whether you know marketing or operations or customer service or any other kind of non-technical skill, you can team up with these software developers and build a company and build a product and really kind of scale these and make them successful. And I think that what you're describing here is essentially the promise of the internet, right? Is that anyone with that internet connection can tap into this kind of open decentralized protocol and they can participate in the global economy, which ultimately is what is creating and capturing so much value as this plays out, right?
Yeah, exactly. And crypto space also creates new opportunities. I mean, it's very tough to create a new dating website or new social network website sitting somewhere in Armenia because there's so much competition going on. But if you create decentralized dating or decentralized social network, at least you'll have early adopters in face of those crypto enthusiasts, crypto community who would love to use it, to try it out. And if it's good, they'll continue to use it. It will grow over with the crypto market, etc.
Absolutely. What's been the biggest surprise for you over the last 3 or 4 months as all this growth has occurred?
I think that's a great question. Let me think. I mean, obviously, Bitcoin reaching 50,000 so early. that's a great surprise. And I'm very surprised about the latest growth, like last week, of Binance Smart Chain. Because, I mean, it took almost all the volume from Uniswap. I mean, it has comparable volume. The PancakeSwap team has comparable volume to Uniswap. I'm surprised about it. And I will continue to look at it further, etc. Again, we can talk about how decentralized it is, etc. I'm pro-decentralization. So Ethereum is obviously more decentralized. Let me think of a third thing that surprised me the most. I have a great stat. Out of all Ethereum wallets connected to CoinStats, over 100,000, right? Just a lot of different kind of people connecting their Ethereum wallets to CoinStats. 35% of them have some liquidity of Uniswap. 35%. That's a lot.
100,000 Ethereum wallets that are connected to CoinStats, 35% of them have some level of liquidity with Uniswap.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a crazy statistic.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was expecting 1, 2, maybe 10, but it's 35.
Yeah, that is nuts. Talk a little bit about kind of your future plans, right? So what are you guys looking to incorporate into CoinStats? And then kind of how do you see things like Binance, Smart Chain, or others in terms of how that affects your product roadmap?
That's a great question. I think the short-term goal for us to come up with the DeFi trading. Is it to use swaps of coins underneath, which will run on blockchain, be that Binance Smart Chain, Ethereum, or any other that's good for that, right? And we also working on our wallet, which would run those trades. Also, you can use, if you don't want to use CoinStats wallet, you can use MetaMask Trust or whatever wallet you're using currently. And as soon as trading works out, we'll prove that our idea of becoming the front end of blockchain is good, and we would start integrating other financial services which currently work and popular on smart contracts on blockchain, be that lending platforms or anything else. Because like I was looking at Yearn Finance right now. You can earn 20% yearly interest on your DAI stablecoin. There's no risk there. There's no Bitcoin, etc., which can go down to 10,000. DAI. And I mean, that you won't get that interest rate on any other bank in the world on dollars. And if someone can make that accessible with a click of a button to all over the world, that's done. That's an earn, I don't know, 0.1% fee or 0.01% fee. That's a great startup idea. I mean, I do understand that it involves a lot of regulation complications, a lot of trust complications. We both understand that we trust smart contracts, right? Try to explain that to a person who have saved his $100,000 over the last 20 years and he wants to earn interest on that. Try to explain that. I mean, that's complicated, but I'm sure we'll get there. And I think banks, especially small banks, innovative banks, should work with the crypto, blockchain, etc., and offer the solutions to their customers. Because consumers trust banks, right? I mean, they put all of their money into banks, etc. If banks can utilize smart contracts, DeFi, on earning more interest for their consumers, they'll be doing good. And I see no reason for that not happening, right? I mean, why it won't happen? It's just a matter of time and technology, some more security to be added and development, time, marketing. It takes time. It doesn't happen immediately, but it will happen over the next couple of years, I'm sure. And we want to be there when it happens, and we want to be part of that market too.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there, my friend. What are the things that you're looking for as we move forward in terms of milestones for the Bitcoin and crypto market? Are there specific things that you're saying, hey, this hasn't happened yet, but I'm looking for it, and when it happens, I think that'll be the next inflection point?
That's a tough question. I think the ETH 2 version is going to change a lot in the markets. Because one reason those kind of solutions aren't into main market yet because of Ethereum gas fees, etc., mining. And if you get there, if it's on mainnet 100%, if it works, that's gonna be big. With all of those competitors, Polkadot, Cardano, Binance Smart Chain, etc. Right now, let's face the truth, Ethereum owns 99.9% of all the market. And if they could, and it's decentralized because it used to be proof of work, and it's proof of work right now. And true proof of stake decentralization comes only when it comes from proof of work. So it worked, mining, etc., computers, video cards, it's hard. And when it comes in, I think that will change a lot, you know, in the world space, because it's going to be more easier to use. With all of those minuses the Ethereum blockchain has, higher gas fees, it's number one. I mean, it has the same level of volume, Uniswap, SushiSwap things as Coinbase, the number one, the exchange is doing IPO right now or thinking to do. And yeah, I'm looking at that. And some people ask when Ethereum price would reach $10,000. No way it can reach $10,000 before that release, because no one would continue use Uniswap when it reaches to $10,000, because for each swap you'd pay $1,000. I mean, that's nonsense. No one would pay $1,000 for swapping one coin to another, even if they're swapping 100K. So, but it can easily reach 10,000, obviously, when Ethereum's 2.0 releases, etc. So I'm very much looking at that. And obviously, Bitcoin halving, we have seen, etc. Bitcoin is something that limited. And history shows that it always goes up, no matter what. And I don't see a reason for it to stop going up. There's no reason. I mean, the only reason can be US government banning Bitcoin. Like, whoever uses Bitcoin goes to jail. But that's obviously, we know that won't happen. And yeah, Bitcoin prices will grow. I think on the long term, it can go 10,000 tomorrow. But on the long term, it will be good. Ethereum economy is complicated because Ethereum can be number one blockchain in the world. Everyone might use Ethereum, but not necessary. Ethereum would be very expensive. That's complicated economy. So yeah, that's what I feel about this market right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we wrap up, I want to do a rapid fire questions. But where can people find CoinStats if they want to go and try the product? If they want to join the 800,000 people who are using it every month, where do you send people?
Just go on any search network and search CoinStats. Be that on App Store, Google Play, even Mac OS Store, even TV OS Store. Etc. We are available on desktop. You can use as a website. You can use as an app. It's accessible on all of your devices. And I think we also have the promo code POMP, which gives you, if I'm not mistaken, 20 or 30% off on our plans. You can try it for free, get the trial on, see the magic, feel the magic, and start using it. You can use it for free if you connect up to two accounts, and then you can use the pump code to get pro or premium if you want to connect more than 10.
Got it. it makes a lot of sense. So people go to just search CoinStats on Google or in any of the app stores, and then there's a free version. But if you want to use any of the premium plans, you can just use code POMP and you can get a discount there. I got three questions that you get to ask me one to finish up. The first question is, what's the most important book you've ever read?
That's a great question. I mean, that's tough to do what's the most important book. If you are talking about startup, etc., I like a book called Traction, I think Eric Ries, which talks about all the marketing channels, how you can grow the product. I think that the same person wrote the book Lean Startup, which is also good. So you can, how you build a company in a lean way, how do you grow it in a lean way, and Traction talks more about the marketing channels and how to do right marketing for your product. That the main message is just choose one marketing channel and push hard for that until some level of your product, then choose the second one, then choose third one. So just push on just single marketing channel at a time if you're a startup.
Absolutely. Second question is more personal. Sleep schedule. This comes from our friends over at 8Sleep. I sleep on their thermoregulated bed. It is amazing. I turn it cold as hell and basically sleep on an ice cube. And now rather than sleep 6 hours, I sleep like 8 or 9. What is your sleep schedule and how has that evolved over the years?
Yeah, it seems you don't have kids. So I have two kids. So sleep schedule is usually depends on their sleep schedule. So yeah, but most of the time I sleep 8-9 hours a day. It's fine. I don't have any sleep problems. So, and I can sleep anywhere I like to be that just uncomfortable sofa or anything. So yeah, I don't, it's great.
I love it. Last question, and then you get to ask me one, is aliens. Are you a believer or a non-believer?
Of course. I mean, there is no probability. There's very small probability. I mean, it's almost zero that there are no aliens. I mean, obviously there are aliens. But the thing is, why they don't contact us? Maybe because they're afraid of those wilder aliens. So yeah, that's tough. But the universe is so big, there can be no one else. We can't be alone. And yeah, obviously, I'm a believer.
I love that perspective of maybe they're scared. That's great. What question do you have for me to wrap up?
Yeah, I think I'd ask you a question on DeFi. How do you think it will grow? And when do you think the regular financial corporations, like regular banks, will start utilizing it?
So my guess is that some banks are already starting to do it, and we'll kind of see how long it takes for them to really, really jump in. But they're kind of, you know, experimenting, they're testing it out, they're trying to understand it both intellectually, but also a little bit in practice. You know, can they set up nodes? Can they participate? I think that the biggest thing, it's similar to Bitcoin, DeFi, all this stuff, it's just time. Right. It just takes time for people to get educated. It takes time for people to learn. It takes time for people to get comfortable using this stuff. But it's a foregone conclusion. Of course, the world is going to run on open decentralized protocols. Right. I think that is literally at this point a very obvious thing. And so I just think people should just be patient. Right. Just chill out, relax, and all will be good in the world as more and more time kind of expires.
I love that answer. Thank you.
All right. Where can we send people to find you on the internet if they want to follow up or they got any questions for you?
Just go on Twitter, Narek Gevorkyan. I have very tough surname to type in. But if you go to the CoinStats Twitter page, you can find CEO Twitter tag on the description. And yeah, again, I forgot to say we are on CoinStats.app. So if you don't want to search on Google, just go to coinstats.app and you'll find CoinStats, all its great features, et cetera.
Amazing. Listen, Narek, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I think that it is pretty incredible. You've built a product that's got, you know, 800,000 monthly active users and growing very quickly. So keep up the great work and we'll have to do this again in the future.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. And it was great to talk to you.